Now, you are very welcome back to part two of Religion Matters. Hope you're well this morning. And I'm delighted to have in studio all the way from the Diocese of Leeds in the UK, Father Daniel O'Leary. And he is an author and a speaker and curate and parish priest. And he's written this new book called Treasured and Transformed. And he's here to chat to me about it this morning. Father Daniel, you're very welcome to Religion Matters.
Thank you, Brenda.
Appreciate you coming to us. I know you're in Ireland for a little bit of a tour and that you have the book launch as well, but tell me a little bit about the book.
Well, I suppose the book in general, I would say there are two themes running through it. One would be something about trying to get a new consciousness about the God we believe in. That would be that sometimes people see God as a really difficult God. We've been brought up, I think, with a very harsh image of God, a God who punishes and a God who allows bad things to happen. So I would say that what's really needed and what has changed my own life is seeing a picture of a God who is just unconditionally loving all the time. And people have, in retreats I give and people I speak to, I'm always surprised that they have trouble with that. People really have a difficulty in believing that God unconditionally loves them no matter what, that God cannot, that there's nothing we can do to change God's love for us, that it's a love we can't earn or merit or somehow deserve. It's pure gift. So like, and I say to people, why do you have trouble believing this? And they say, well, what about a God who created hell and a God who created purgatory and a God who punishes people and a God who remembers sins and allows all these things to happen? How can we love and trust a God like that? So it's quite a conversation at the moment everywhere I go.
Yeah, and we've had conversations even this past week about a lot of talk about hell and should we be talking about hell and should we be promoting hell? And but I loved, in your introduction you say, Treasured and Transformed, that's the title of your book, is about what happens when we live our lives in God's presence. And that's a very, I know the introduction is a little bit longer, but that's a very simple, it's a lovely explanation of what you're offering in this.
Yes, it is. It is. It's like a new consciousness, a new awareness that everything begins and ends with what God's love is. And to make that your conscious presence every day, no matter what, to realise that this is the truth and the foundation, it just changes immensely what we feel faith is, the way we pray, the way we celebrate the sacraments, what we think we're doing when we're going to Mass. If you don't get that sort of foundation right, that God is an extravagant lover, that God just is delighted with us all the time, no matter what, then you're going to be struggling all your life with fear, anxiety, scruples, all kinds of doubts, and you'll find it very hard to say something like, "Oh, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in Thee," because you'll be your images of God. And I think they mostly are, I'm afraid, are fairly daunting and haunting and difficult and frightening.
I mean, I suppose we're very good as Catholics at the whole concept of guilt. And often guilt can be a blockage to us believing what you've just said about God.
I think guilt and anxiety and shame and all of that is what has crucified Irish Catholics. And, like, you know, you still find it paraded around the place by clerics of all kinds, trying to frighten people a bit by sins and shame and guilt. And you can't surrender to love if that's what's going on in you. Like, God seduces us by love and by compassion and by attraction and by all the most beautiful things. Shame and guilt will never pull us into that place of being able to surrender to God and have the abundant life. You can't. If there's a guilt, like Jesus in his death and resurrection ended all kinds of shame, guilt, that kind of worrying about, are all my sins told, are they all forgiven? That's full of fear, and that destroys the love.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the way of looking at it is that if you look at the beautiful relationship that small children have, there's an innocence to the way they are with God, the way they talk to God. And I'm not saying that we should be reducing our adult relationships, but I think somewhere we lose the sense of wonder and the sense of beauty about God.
Yes, I don't think it's reducing our sense of God at all. I see myself when I try to pray every morning and evening as a baby in the hands of its mother. You will never go all that far wrong if your image of God is about a mother with a baby, not expecting the baby to be all the time saying, "Mommy, I'm sorry. Mommy, I'm sorry that I didn't please you. Help me to be better. I want to thank you, Mommy." The mother will say, "You're my child. You're my baby. You don't have to be like that. Just trust me. I want to love you." And when you say about the notion of wonder and so on, if I can just say, that's a second kind of theme running through the book.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it transforms people's lives. That in general, we see religion and church and holy things in one place, and then life itself and Monday to Friday and the ordinary things in a different, and we have a line down the middle. We forget that the huge revelation of incarnation, of Christmas, is that God has become humanity, God has become nature, and God always, in fact, it is at the heart of life. So when you begin, and there's lovely words for that, there's a beautiful theology of the Vatican Council and of Pope Francis, there's a lovely spirituality of humanity, it's called the Catholic imagination, great words for it. What it means is that we live in a world where God is present at every moment in everything. Our bodies are God's body. The world is God's body. Everything reveals the face of God. When you get into that place in your life and in your worship, then your life is transformed, because suddenly there's no longer a chosen few or some being better than others. The whole world and everybody in it, like Pope Francis says, are God's people. And every time we experience anything real, we're experiencing God. It's a huge claim, but it's the basic Christian claim. We seem to have forgotten it, or maybe we were never told it.
Yeah, I think Pope Francis is reminding us of that as well. And I know he got a little bit irritated last year when people were cheering for him. He was saying, "Cheer for Christ, cheer for Jesus." And he sees himself as just someone who's pointing to all that kind of God has to offer and all that Jesus did for us. I wanted to ask you, who is the book for? I mean, who would you recommend reads the book?
Well, I would say it's for people who are kind of interested in pursuing their faith, who want to live life more fully, people who somehow want to have more joy in their lives, and especially people who are getting fed up with the church, with the institutional church. And a lot of the people who would come to the sessions I do would be people who don't anymore go to Mass because they feel they are being diminished, I'm afraid, at it. They don't feel nourished, particularly women, don't feel nourished and don't feel supported, and they'd rather stay away than go and get angry. So it would be for people who are on the threshold, and these are many hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, and it's published by the Columba Press, but it's available, I know, from Veritas. I think Columba Press will also have it available online as well. So for anyone who's listening and doesn't think that they're near a bookshop, it'll be in. You can always get it online as well. It's called Treasured and Transformed: Vision for the Heart, Understanding for the Mind, Daniel J. O'Leary. It's been a pleasure to chat to you. Delighted you were able to join us in studio, and good luck with the rest of your time here in Ireland. Do you have Irish links with a name like O'Leary?
Oh yes, I'm born in Rathmore, near Killarney in County Kerry.
Okay.
And then ordained in All Hallows College in Dublin. So I am very Irish indeed.
Yeah, well, you can still hear that in the accent. Indeed, I can hear the twang of English, but I don't think you can ever totally lose the Irish.
About that,
yes, yeah. Well, hold on to that. Listen, it's been lovely to chat to you in studio. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Brenda.